Welcome to the Industry Talks podcast. I'm your host, Roman Perry. I want to start off this episode by giving a shout out and a thank you to everybody that attended our panel on Monday. I also want to thank our panelists, Austin Evanson, Peter Torres, and Madam Gandhi. You guys were awesome. And I want to thank my partners on this project, Danny Klein, who does all of our graphic design work, and Kyle Emerson Brown, who's kind of the founder of this whole Industry Talks thing. He runs the panels here in LA. I have some great news as well. We're on Spotify now. So if that's your preferred method of listening to podcasts, check us out on there. Spotify is a great service, and it's just kind of a big deal. It's cool. On this episode, we have a great friend of mine, the extremely talented Kalina Zanders. I'm really stoked about this episode. We kind of get into it. We get into what makes her tick, kind of where her inspirations come from as a songwriter, her journey, all that kind of stuff. So without further ado, give it a listen.
Industry Talks.
Kalina Zanders.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going great.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's been good.
You've had a pretty productive spring.
Yes.
Or winter.
Winter, spring.
Technically, it is the first day of spring today.
Oh, yeah.
So,
true.
End of winter.
Yes. End of winter has been pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you had a song during a commercial in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
That's a pretty big deal.
Yes. It's called Stronger Than I Ever Been.
Okay.
That kind of was, man, we didn't know it was going to. So I wrote the song with Dirty Monster, and they're like producing duo, amazing writers and great producers. And they wanted to make it really personal, but also just something that was, you know, just like an anthem almost. We were like, what it would be so crazy if like it was in the Winter Olympics or something. We were like, whoa, it'd be crazy if that would happen. And that actually happened. So
really,
yeah. And then the Super Bowl was kind of just a fluke in a way. I was told that they had another commercial lined up.
Okay.
But then didn't work out, and they put our commercial in place for the Super Bowl. So I was like, whoa.
That works out pretty well.
And we didn't know that until the Friday before the Super Bowl. And then we saw the visual for it, which was incredible,
yeah,
with Lauren Wollstonecraft. And we Massive. Just were blown away.
That's great.
Yeah.
What was the process for that like? Like, can we get into like you getting that sync and stuff like that? Like, what was the...
So the process a little bit, Dirty Monster, they work with a pitching company called Think Music.
Uh-huh.
And we wrote the song, and I told them I wanted to make an original song, you know, something along those lines, because I played sports my whole life.
Yeah.
And so it just worked out that they pitched it. And fortunately, the lady who picked the song, her name is Kristen Hosack.
Okay.
From Saatchi & Saatchi. Like, she loved it. And it's literally just the grace of God, I guess. I mean, I don't really know. Just all these different components came together to make this happen. So, and it was really kind of like, I mean, I did the work in the studio, and, you know, I think just everyone together working kind of to get this, tell this story, really.
Yeah.
It's really the story
like
of
a culmination of a couple of years of hard work.
Yeah. And I mean, there was no direct intention, you know, no one said this is going to happen this way. It's just literally vibes and you know, the work, you know, so, and literally I can't stop thinking like Dirty Monster for us collaborating on it. I like Think Music. I'm just always like, oh my God. Like, yeah, from everybody, Kristen, Saatchi. It's just like literally this big amoeba of like people just got together, and we just kind of, it just happened.
Really. Yeah.
It really
like
did.
A whole team effort.
Yeah. Extremely a team effort. So
that's great.
Yeah.
That's really big.
Yep.
What else has been going on this winter? I know you said like a lot of stuff's been happening.
Yeah. So I mean, since that, I mean, well, the things that have been really nice is that people all over the world have been reaching out to me and telling me their stories about how they have children that, you know, that don't have legs, and, you know, they've listened to the song, and like, it really like touches them. And, I've had people with cancer reach out to me and say that it helps them through their day. People who have lost like children,
That's
like
amazing.
Lost babies and stuff. Like, it's been really, really emotional.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah. And so with that, it's basically changed my whole mindset about doing music.
Really?
Like, I'm like, okay, I want to be a conduit, a vessel for singing about things that really are personal and help people, or, you know, like I want to be a channel for that.
Yeah.
For helping humans all over.
That's
so
great.
So my perspective about it's less like, I mean, it's still, you have to be selfish in some sense, but it's opened my mind to like the possibilities are like way greater. My focus, like now I have a clearer like musical focus.
Right.
You know, which is what I think I was struggling with previously, just because, you know, working with a bunch of different DJs has been amazing because I get to exercise all different types of myself.
Yeah.
And collaborating has been amazing, and working with people. But as an artist, I was like, I like so many things. But now I'm like, okay, this is the deal.
Like, your purpose.
My purpose. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. I feel like I've found my purpose in the artistry.
Yeah.
And me being a solo artist, you know.
That's great.
So
that's a really good position. There's a lot of people that are struggling because they don't have one. You know,
yes.
Because they haven't really, I mean, they have a purpose and they know what they're doing and they like doing it, but just like having that like center, that foundation. That you found. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really great. And
you're going to end up being a lot better off because of it. I mean,
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel it's weird. Like I was feeling very like really like not struggling, but just like, oh man, I need to make money doing music and
right.
just all this. But that, even that shift, I'm like, if I just make good songs and like, that affect people, like I don't have to worry about that part in a way. You know what I mean?
Like feeling almost like, I don't want to say the word aimless, but just kind of like, well, what am I trying to do here? Like what is my end goal looking like?
And with that too, I started working with Peter from Mind of a Genius.
Okay.
From
he's
yesterday.
A great guy.
Yeah. And he's now officially managing me. And
amazing.
We're gonna try to take this, you know, to the next level.
Yeah.
And it feels really, really nice.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's definitely good. Because I remember this actually isn't the first time you and I have sat down to record a podcast. We did a little test run last year.
Right.
And you didn't have a manager last year. So that's a big deal for you to find somebody that was, so you're pretty adamant about doing it on your own, I think.
Well, yeah, you know? Because it didn't, you know, I mean, I didn't have anything I didn't know myself, I guess.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make sure that I knew myself so I can get with a manager that can execute, you know, a vision. Whatever vision, and now I got it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Did you find him, or like, did you start working with him before or after you've had this realization about your?
I've actually known Peter for, I guess, two years now. I'm really good friends with his wife's Candace.
Okay.
Candace. So me and Candace just been hanging, and you know, she's interviewed me a couple times for her radio show, and I don't know. Like, we just kind of been around each other and then just, hey, you know.
It just works out.
Yeah. And then, after this, I think he had listened to Stronger Than I Ever Been. And he was like, whoa, like, there's something like we've got to do. He's like, I really want to help you. And I was like, okay. I'm like, I'm ready. So, and it's literally what I've been like, almost like praying for, and just someone to see me. But I think I needed to understand myself too. So
definitely.
Yeah.
I feel like with the manager relationship, it's like, you gotta, like, I mean, this is kind of with anybody that's gonna help you in the industry. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's all about, if you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you build your own, like, if you focus on your own artistry and if you focus on your own purpose and your own, like, brand and everything, like, if you get that down and you know what you're doing and you know where you're headed, there are gonna be people that see that vision.
Yes.
And that are gonna, like, wanna help you out.
Yes.
And make those things a reality.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, yeah, I'm grateful. Just feel really grateful.
It's like the best emotion. It's the best. Like, if you're waking up feeling that way every single morning, then you're on the right path.
Yeah, definitely. For sure.
So, where'd you get started with music? Like, when was your first steps into the musical world?
In a professional way? Or just like,
we can do, why don't we do like personal way and then we'll do a professional way after that.
When I was younger, my mom had a very eclectic musical taste. She listened to a lot of classic rock. She listened to a lot of Prince and also gospel. And so I was just heavily into music of all kinds. And I used to sing a lot, apparently. I didn't know this until, because I thought I was shy. But apparently I used to sing a whole ton when I was a kid.
Really?
And yeah. And like, then my mom put me in musical theater. So I learned a bunch about that. and stopped doing that because I didn't think that was that cool.
Right.
You know? And then got into a band in college. We were kind of like, it was called Mulder's Lounge. Uh-huh. We were kind of like Red Hot Chili Peppers meets Incubus meets Rage Against the Machine. So I used to like rap a little bit and whatever. So.
And you play the drums, didn't you?
Yeah, I can play the drums. I went to Musicians Institute for singing, but I used to just cut class and play drums. So,
nice.
Yeah. wait, should I be saying that out loud? I don't know. Yeah, so drums, and I can play a little bit of keyboard and some guitar, just, you know, enough to make a song and stuff. And then, you know, after MI, got into a couple different, like, music scenarios, got into a little group, broke apart, and I was like, done with music. I was like, forget it. Right. I'm not doing music ever again. And then literally like the next week, my friend Andrew, he called me up and was like, yo, my friend needs a singer for a track. And that was Sunburn. So yeah, it was just like that was like, yeah, my first introduction to really dance music. It was like in 2015. So yeah, so that was, and then that blew up, and then a whole different world opened up. So,
did you go right from the Musicians Institute from like to do Sunburn, or was there some time?
Oh, no, there was a huge, huge gap. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just out making music and just, you know, working at Trader Joe's.
Doing
and,
the LA thing.
Yeah, just kind of finding myself and doing yoga and being a vegetarian and all those things. But yeah, I mean, yeah, there was a huge gap. Yeah. And then like once my little group broke up, I was in like a duo. I was a singer and she was a DJ. And I was like, once that broke up, I was like, okay, this music sucks.
You're going to take a little break.
Yeah. Yeah. But then, yeah, then there was no break after that. I mean, it was some time, but then it got crazy. So
are you doing music full time now? You're definitely doing it full time.
Yes, I'm doing music full time. I quit my job at Apple September 15th.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was that like? Like quitting? How was that process?
Quitting was, it was weird. It didn't feel like real at first, you know? And then I think 2 weeks, so like I think I did Groove Cruise after that and did something else. And 2 weeks after I quit, that's when it hit me.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, I quit my job. What am I doing? Like, it was just like a strange process because I realized how much like jobs take up your time. And so, you know, putting yourself on a music schedule is different. Putting yourself on that independent schedule is like way different. So,
and have you found how has your motivation been since you've quit your job? Is that a struggle to like readjust to that?
It was a small little struggle.
Yeah,
just a little bit. I realized that. I mean, I just realized I have more time to do like all the work that I would like to do, like artistically.
Yeah. Finally learn Ableton.
Yeah, finally learn. I bought it at least, and I started taking lessons.
Okay, good.
Still, it's been a bit of a struggle because then that Super Bowl thing happened. So everything is kind of mixed up, and I haven't had a moment to really sit down and like consistently work on it, but it's fine. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Long as it's there.
In due time.
Yep, absolutely. But yeah, I think like setting up a schedule, like, okay, in the morning, oh, I can work out, you know? Oh, I can practice writing. Like, oh, I can, you know, like just little things like that. I now implement way more. And my drive actually has gone up. My drive for doing the music is, you know, every day I'm just like, okay, you know,
like what's going on,
fretting over my little, music situation. So it's like, it's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you think it helped to, cause like, I know some people will, you know, do you think it helped already? Cause you already had like kind of a professional foundation before you quit your job.
True.
And I think that like probably gave you a little bit more of a slingshot to get into staying productive during that time period. Cause it did.
However, I realized though that even being at work, it still made me kind of lazy. Like I wouldn't follow through with everything.
When you were working?
Yeah, when I was working. Because when I was working.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, okay, run the session. Okay, do that. Like no preparation.
Yeah.
You know, like I would just be running around all the time and then having to go to work. And then
you'd just be exhausted.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it wasn't laziness because I wasn't really being lazy, but I just couldn't get into the meat and potatoes of everything I was doing. It's just
there's like, you have an attention. Like there's only so much attention you can give.
Yes.
And if you're giving 40 hours of attention to a job, then that means that it's, you know, some parts of your life are going to have to be sacrificed to make that happen.
Yeah, exactly.
What is your songwriting process? Like, do you have a place that you like to go? Do you have a studio that you work out of or? you just kind of like walk and stuff? Like, what's your songwriting process like?
I write a lot in the morning, like around, well, whenever I get up. Usually I get up like really early. So like between six and eight.
Okay.
I write a bunch then. And then throughout the day, I just come up with a bunch of concepts and like I write down titles a lot. And usually I like to finish my songs with another person because I don't know. I just like it. It's like you get more ideas. You don't get stuck.
Accountability.
Yeah, accountability. And a lot of times the producer that I work with, his name is Eric. He's a part of Dirty Monster. He'll give me tasks, you know. So like he'll be like, okay, go home and write, you know, brainstorm all these different things.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll come back together and kind of write stuff up.
That's
you know?
Cool.
Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, on a personal level, I have to be going through something like emotional or like a lot of love things really provoke me to write really interestingly, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, love or new, like it's mostly love. Yeah. Those are the only things that I'm really like, I can sit down and be like, da, 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 you know?
Yeah.
And be really creative. And I usually get on the guitar and just like, you know, wail and just say all these little lines. And then I'll sit back in my computer and write stuff.
And like get it all sorted.
Yeah. But for things that are more like when I want to communicate things to like the world or like if I, you know, I want to do something that's, you know, for people, you know, then I usually like to partner with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For like, you know, I mean, just getting like the dance music tracks like big and stuff like
that. Oh yeah. Oh, well dance music tracks. Yeah. Well, that's a whole nother thing. I mean, man, there's a lot of, I mean, I've written a lot of my own dance tracks and I also partnered with a bunch of people too. It's just, it literally just whatever I feel. I don't know. Like sometimes I feel like, oh, I got this, you know? And then sometimes I'm like, I need some extra help, you know? But I typically, I always write like my own melodies and I usually will map that out first.
Okay.
Yeah, because
like before the words.
Uh-huh. Because I know my voice, you know what I mean? And actually my one friend Eric, he does know my voice really well too, but that's in a different scenario.
Right.
Like
you know, he's like a writing partner more than he is just like this is my collaborator for the song kind of thing.
So when I'm working with DJs, it's usually I will map out my whole vocal line, you know, and make sure that because it has to be a certain way. And usually I like to sit with the DJ and like map it out with them.
Right.
And make sure that, and this is no diss to DJs, but not all of them are 100% like musical, like music theory or, you know, no structures of songs and whatever. That's kind of just like very computer oriented.
Well, it's also, I mean, it's really hard to write for a specific singer.
Yes.
You know, like it's really hard to write like, even if you said my range is between these two notes,
right?
I still wouldn't be able to do as good of a job as you could do because you know your voice, you know which notes you can like hit super hard and stuff.
True.
Like, it's a really tough thing.
I know.
It's good to learn how to be able to write to somebody else, but like, you gotta, I've been learning that a lot lately because I've been writing, you know, songs with my band and stuff.
Yeah.
And just being able to like work with my singer and knowing where his notes are, you know?
Yes. And I oftentimes will feel really, really bad because in an email, someone will be like, I have this one track for you.
Right.
And I'm always like, ah, no, like at least send a couple, but we need to get in the studio to create something. But they'll be like, I have this one track. I made it last night and they're so excited about it. And I'm just like, and then I hear it and it's like more oftentimes than not, it'll be like, it won't be for me. And it sucks because I know how jazzed they were on. They're hearing my voice, but they're not really understanding like how it's actually going to go over it.
Yeah,
it's like it makes me feel really bad.
So you prefer somebody approaching you with like a few different ideas,
absolutely,
or even like a blank slate?
Kind of, yeah.
Would you rather have a blank slate than like five separate ideas?
If you sent me five songs, and at least I feel like one of them is going to be dope that we can start from and maybe rearrange.
Yeah,
yeah, but I mean. I also do love getting in the studio and starting from scratch and having an example of something.
Like a reference track.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a reference track. And then let's try to make that. And then, you know, shape it into whatever else. That's what I really do love.
Uh-huh.
But if you have five songs, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like one song, I feel so bad.
Yeah.
Like, cause I can tell how excited they are and like, but I'm just like, no,
Like, you're not giving me any room.
Yeah, no room. Yeah. And then, like, I'm like, okay, well, where do you even hear, like, a vocal line? Because a lot of times there'll be, like, a lead line that'll have, like, the vocal in it already. Or not a vocal, but, like, something that in place of where a vocal would go. Yeah. And it just gets, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, it's tough. It's a really tough thing to, like, work with. I feel like if you've been just in the box for a really long time and making a bunch of dance music.
Yeah.
Like, it's tough to work with vocalists. Like, that's why just like a exercise is to just write songs with like piano and vocals.
Yes.
And then you build the song around that.
That is key to me.
That was like a big, we had, I went to a production school and that was like one in our songwriting class that we took. Like, that was like the whole class was just like, you have to use a piano and you have to sing.
Great. You know, that's, and that was like, that should, every DJ should do that. Every musician, if they're going to work with vocalists, they should do that.
Even singing on their own, even if they don't want to be singers.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
You learn a lot.
Definitely.
Yeah, you learn how everything's placed. Anyway, yeah.
What do you think is your biggest challenge day to day? Like these last, I guess since the, like you quit your job, I guess, what has been your biggest challenge? Like being, because now you're officially an independent musician.
Mm-hmm.
What has been your challenge?
I guess not getting overwhelmed with the little tasks that I have to do. Like, okay, so I set up these things where, like, I want to meditate every day. I want to do some form of exercise. And what's it? Oh, write. I'm really trying to focus on my writing right now. And so I can be, so I can communicate these ideas, whatever. So sometimes, you know, I'll get caught up on an email or something, or like emailing people, or I don't know, just like my cats or something like random. I don't want to get too distracted from the list of things that I like set out to do every day.
Right.
So it's a bit of a challenge. And I have a little bit of like, I have pretty much extreme ADD. So yeah,
I can relate. I know what you mean.
I'm just like bouncing all over the place. I even pace around my house, you know, quite a bit because I have a lot of energy and sometimes I can't just sit down. But lately, if I get up early enough, I get up like in between like six. If I get up at six, then I try to get all the little like mundane tasks, the emails, the, you know, my car situation, you know, just like little crap stuff that, you know, will really bog you down during the day. And if I do that, then I'm good for the day.
Because then you have like, there's nothing that you have to worry about. Like,
yes.
Chewing at you.
Yeah. And then I can get my workout in, then I can be creative and like meditate. Meditation is like really, really important for me. I'm realizing.
How long have you been doing that?
Well, I started yoga a long time ago, and then I got into these like breathing exercises from this like guru type dude.
Yeah.
And, which when he showed me those, that really changed my whole perception of an attitude about how I want to apply my creativity. I don't know if that makes any sense, but, I don't know. I've been doing it off and on for years kind of, you know, and then some days, some months I'll get really, really like into it. And when that happens, like my whole brain changes. And I want to get back to that place where I'm doing that. I don't know why sometimes I don't sit down and do it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just, like distractions. I'm just like,
oh. It's tough.
Yeah. I
mean,
I
also have ADHD.
Yeah.
And I know when, like those mornings that you say, like I get up early, I do the things that I need to do. Like I know my days are better. Like they are, like, literally quantifiably better days.
Yeah.
Like if I had a chart and I could mark off my days, my bad days, the ones that I don't do that stuff, my good days, the ones that I do.
Yeah.
And it's still so hard to like just sit down for 10 minutes and just breathe.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why. But anyway, my challenge is that, you know, I'm still trying to reel it in as much as I can every day. So
the best way for you to overcome that is waking up.
Waking up early. Yeah.
That's it.
Yep. That's it. Seriously. So, and I'd even change, like, when I change my diet, like, to more, like, plant-based stuff, you know, like, that really helps with clarity and it helps with focus.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've been trying to cut back on drinking, you know. Also, too, singing all the time.
Yeah.
I can't really drink that as much. But, yeah, it's like, during the month of January, like, I hardly drank at all. Like, not a bit. And I was
sober,
just like,
January.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people were doing that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also I was shooting a music video, so I wanted to be as like clean for that.
Yeah.
So, and just like, you know, good, fresh faced and, you know, just like popping, you know, so I was doing a lot of juicing and during that time, you know, I was like, yeah, this is rad. But then I was like, I need to party.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's just, you know, an ebb and flow.
Definitely.
Yeah. And it's fine. It's all fine. I don't even think, I don't hang, like have too many like hangups in my head about it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, I'm a human, you know, and I really do honor the fact that there's, you know, like there's balance and I honor my partying side and I honor my like side that likes to chill out and, you know, be healthy too. So.
Yeah. Even the greatest ones of us like are slobs.
Yeah.
Like even Tim Ferriss's days when he wakes up at 1 p.m. Yeah. Hungover, like it's definitely.
It's just, yeah. It's just how we are. And I think we all learn to deal with it and it's totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all part of it. You got to be forgiving with yourself.
You have to be.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Especially when you're on your own. Not necessarily on your own, but when you're like doing your own thing and setting your own career for yourself. And
man, yeah. That does change. Yeah. You actually do cut out some stuff. Like I've been more adult, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Recently. So.
Well, it's like, what are you trying to do?
Yeah.
That's like a big thing that I've just been asking myself and been asking my friends. It's like, what are we doing here? Like, what are we really like? Am I here in LA just to like mess around and do nothing? Or am I like trying to make something for myself? Am I going to try and make something happen? Like, so what are you trying to do?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You're trying to make it happen.
You got to be realistic with yourself. And it's important. Where do you see yourself in like 5 or 10 years? Maybe we'll do 5 years and then we'll do, let's do like 30 years.
Okay. 5 years. Okay. 5 years. I will have had a great body of work that I've been sharing with the world and with people and on television and all that stuff. I also would like my own television show.
Okay. What kind of show? What's that?
It's kind of like a show that's like a singing traveling show. Like basically, well, should I say this out loud? I don't know. Like, I don't know.
I mean, if you're saying it out loud, now then
maybe
you have to do it.
You're right?
Putting out in the universe.
Well, I would like to travel around to different countries and show kind of like how they make music, but through my singing and not my singing, but like I want to basically make tracks with different people from around the world.
Right.
And then show, and through that show, like the culture, you know, food and you know, lifestyle.
Yeah.
And, but then also like at the end of it, we will have made like this awesome kind of track.
Like every episode has a new song or something like that.
And I want it to be a little bit crazy too, because like I'm really, really wild.
Yeah.
So like I want to do like the wildest things there, you know, like, I don't know, like let's say if like here was like, you know, jumping, doing bungee jumping is like a thing, then I would do that. You know what I mean? Like I would do like the craziest thing, like in that thing.
Part Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah.
Like part making the band and then part Wild Boys.
Yeah, yeah.
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 That sounds great. I think that would be... So that's in 5 years you're gonna start work on that.
I mean, if I could do it sooner, I would. It seems like a sooner goal, kind of. Like it seems like something I can do in 3 years. But
why not?
But I mean, you know, I'm just giving that, you know, space time. But I see myself on TV a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. Just doing, I don't know, communicating and whatever, obviously through music, and I don't know, I just like game shows. I don't know. I just see, like, I also wanna be like in a movie. I don't know if this will be, it could be 5 years, but I want to be a superhero in a movie.
Okay.
Yeah. It's been my goal for a long time. So I just never knew how I was going to get there, but it's going to happen. I know that part. That one I am for sure.
Yeah. You're definitely going to be a superhero.
I want to be a superhero. I could be a sidekick. I don't have to be like the main focus. I can be in the Fast and the Furious kind of superhero. Like I want to be in one of those movies.
Well, I think your song has made you a superhero to a lot of people.
Oh, I'm all, choke up. Cry. Yeah, you know, I can't, it's hard to take that on, but I understand what you mean.
With great power comes great responsibility.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, wow, I almost started crying. It's true. That is true. Just, again, seeing all the responses from people and just,
It's an amazing thing.
Yeah. It's been powerful.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see yourself in 25 years?
Oh my. Wait, how? Okay. Oh, I want to be
like 25 is like you're tenured, you know what I mean? You were in the old guard, I think, at that point, you know what I mean?
I kind of want to be retired in a weird way.
Do you?
Yeah, I'd like to be chilling. I would like to open up like a school for performance to teach people how to perform.
So like dance and singing?
No, just more like teaching DJs how to do performances, teaching other singers how to perform, you know, on stage. Like I would like to have that sort of, I mean, I guess dancing, but I'm not really, it's just more of like a how you are on stage type of thing. I would like to mentor people. I don't know if that could be even 10 years for me, but I would like to mentor kids. Yeah. And other artists.
Like help them be comfortable in front
of comfortable people. Like, I feel like, you know, I watch a bunch of, you know, I'm always at these festivals and even myself, you know, whatever, but, just watching people, I'm like, oh man, they could do this, these one things, and it would change their whole entire situation and their connection with the audience.
Right.
Yeah. And that, it's that, it's, to me, sometimes those points are so crucial. It's that one thing that some, like, that the audience member like will remember you by, you know? Yeah. And like, I feel like I could help that.
Like with audience engagement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not, and maybe it'll just be like a, it could be a portion in a school or something, but like, I just want to mentor people in that way. Yeah. And I also would like to be a yogi too. Like, I want to just do like yoga and just be like an old person that just does yoga and eat, just chills.
That sounds great.
Yeah. That's kind of really what I want to do.
Just do yoga.
Yeah. But I plan to have buckets and buckets of money too. So
of course,
I
don't know.
Like, ideally, I could just chill and have buckets of money and just, oh, I do. Oh my God. This is like, I don't know how this is going to happen. I would like to go to different countries, maybe filtered through that TV show thing. Uh-huh. But I'd love to go and like dig in and help people. Like, I want to be like on the grounds. Like I wish I could have gone to like Puerto Rico and like help people. Like, I want to do that. Yeah. I want to go and like be there with people and try to help this world, because this world is so like crazy. And we're I feel like we're kind of already on the outs anyway, but I feel like spirits, I want to help children, like, you know how we have all these like shootings and stuff, and like I feel like we're really neglecting our teenagers, you know, because they have so much crap on the internet that they watch, and they're left alone, and they just make up their own ideas, they're not communicating with people, and adults don't care anymore. It's just like,
it's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. Yeah. And I would love to have some sort of like facility or something where kids can, like, we need to help change their mindset.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that's going to happen, but I want to be a part of that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I've always felt like the youth is, that's like, there's no person that is more important than the people that are like under 18.
Yeah.
Like, I think that like the youth in the world, mm-hmm. they are the most important people.
They are
in the planet.
I they think are
just for our species. They are the most important when it comes to like developing them into mm-hmm. amazing human beings.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that, and they're overlooked so much.
It blows my mind that that's like,
yeah, we don't care.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and so it's been nice to see, you know, the kids from at these different schools,
like the Parkland kids.
Yeah, you know, standing up and talking, and you know, that's important. Yeah, I'm like getting all choked up. Like, it's weird. Okay, so like, I also have a song that's gonna come out. I'm literally like choking up. I'm like trying not to, but you have a song coming out that I can't even talk about it really. But the emotion that I have right now, that's what's in that song.
Okay,
and I can't wait to share it.
That's gonna be great.
Yeah.
Do you know? Can you tell me when it's coming out yet, or do we not know yet?
Tentatively in between Coachella weekends.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Man,
so that's April for those who are not privy to which dates.
It'll
like
be
mid-April.
Mid-April, yeah. Okay. Like April 17th.
Okay, sick.
Yeah, like, or maybe a couple days before that. But yeah, that, I really, like, I was in the studio 3 days. Well, I've been in the studio with it for a while, but there were three days that were really trying for me. You know, it was really, like, emotional. And Eric, he, like, really pushed me to get, you know, the sound and the get the emotion. And I like, you know how, I don't know if you've ever had this experience. Well, do you sing?
A little bit.
Well, it's kind of like, singing is all, you know, on you. You know, you like, you can't, you know, it's not the sound of a guitar. You have to like rely on your voice. And sometimes it's like, it's draining, and sometimes it's tiresome, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes it really puts you in your head. And for this song, I was just like, I was really in my head. And then he was just like, you have to act it out, you know, you have to really get into the character. And I was just, and when I got into the character, I like broke down and like started crying, because I was like, whoa, you know, it's like that profound moment, or that where the light bulb went off and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, like this is going to be something, you
know. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been more in his seat than I have been in yours.
Yeah.
I did a bunch of theater in high school.
Like,
I was the vice president of my my theater troupe.
Oh, nice.
So I was like, I did a bunch of acting and stuff, and even a little bit in college,
sweet.
I did that. But that, those like acting lessons and that, I, that kind of like, you know, the actor's mindset, I bring that to my vocal sessions. So like when my singers are singing about a certain thing, I'm like, you have to put yourself in that position. Like, what are you saying?
What are you saying? Yeah.
Like, what are you, who's the character? Like, who are you saying this to?
Yeah.
Why are you saying it? And like getting into that mindset. And, I almost feel like if you're a singer, like you take an acting class, because I feel like that'll give you that.
Yeah. I've taken some acting classes, which is great. And a musical theater has helped me too. But sometimes, you know, when you're a singer and you do it well, you're just like, I know how to sing this song.
Right.
And you're like, and then you're doing a bunch of takes and you're like, dude, I'm singing it. Like, you know, but then it's like, you know, you're that person on the other end, you know, you're listening to it when I'm doing the what's it called? The takes.
Yeah.
So you know what should happen. So anyway, I can't wait for that song to come out, and I hope that the world hears it.
It's
really do.
Great. They will.
I really
They're going to hear it.
Yeah. I hope so.
When you have a purpose as strong as the one that you've found, I think that it's, the world is going to, like, you're going to be paid back for saying that nothing else matters between, like, I want to help people and I want to, like, sing emotionally. And I want to, like, once you have kind of given that, given everything else up, that's when you get the reward.
Yes.
It's like once you've kind of walked through the fire or whatever it is, then it's, things start to come back and things start to pay off. And,
well, I'm like literally opening my heart, praying, and all I want is, and is this. So, well, you can't see. I'm like, I'm not speaking
about it.
She's
got both of her hands up and her head's back and her mouth's open and she's calling upon the universe.
Yes, universe.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Are you religious? Or are you more new wave spiritual? Or
I would say probably more new wave spiritual. Whatever.
I guess, like, pray to the universe to provide.
I think I've just made my own like little core feeling or whatever. I've just developed my own like vocabulary for spirituality.
Yeah,
I don't really have. I can't. You know, one thing I learned is that I can't really like. I can't preach my own ideas. You know what I mean? Or I can't. You know, people try to tell you my ideas
this is the way.
I realize that's so self-righteous and very limiting, you know, and I believe in certain things, but I'm also very open to changing, you know, and I have, you know, strong core beliefs, and but it's not necessarily in one, like, this religion or that religion or whatever. I just know I want to be a good person, you know, so
that, like, feeling.
Yeah, the feeling. There's a lot of, you know what? My friends call me the feeling.
You call you the feeling?
No, my friends call me the feeling.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, I don't know, we just have these little jokes, but they call me, like, the feeling, a person that just, like, feeling and just, you know. Because I also, I'm very, like, on the what do they call it? Spontaneous.
Right.
So it's just like, I have a feeling, let's go. Like, you know, I'm just very, I just respond to my feelings more. I don't really like think. I mean, I do think a lot, but, you know, just spontaneous.
Right.
Anyway. I just feel spiritual. I feel connected to, you know, a lot of goodness in the world. And I feel, and the one thing I know is that I have a voice that I'm supposed to do something with. That's, and that I have to kind of pay attention to and follow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like a superhero talking.
Oh, yes. I mean, okay.
You have a power. You got to make the world a better place. Like, that's like, that's what you're doing.
That's all I got to do.
Let's see. This is a good one. We're getting into some good stuff for this. Do you have advice for the 18-year-old version of you?
Let me think back when I was 18. Oh, man. When I was 18, it was kind of like a heartbreaking time. I guess I would say just continue to find yourself. And that, I mean, that's what I used to tell myself is to find the truth of, like, the truth of who I am and not clouded by any external opinions.
Right.
You know what I mean? I guess I would have said also, okay, like, your sexuality is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably what I said. There it is.
Okay.
I got it.
That's what it would be.
Yeah. You're fine.
That's what
I said. Yeah, that's what I would have said, honestly. Because I
did you feel like you weren't fine?
Yeah, yeah. I felt like I was not fine. Yeah, I did. Honestly, I thought I had a lot of like warring feelings about me, and then I think I would have said, "Yeah, you're fine. You're okay. It's okay that you're gay. It's okay." That's what I would have said. Absolutely. That's it. That's the only advice I would have said.
That's good.
Yeah, because knowing that now and having that power, not having that like sense of security, and you're not dancing around any kind of like this or that. You're just like, I know what I am, and I would have gotten to. I think if I knew that when I was 18, I would have gotten to some other place sooner. I'm not sure what place that means, but like I would have gotten somewhere sooner. I know that.
Yeah.
But it took too long. To this back and forth and warring over like my sexuality, which is like not even a focus. Yeah. I realized earlier, or I mean later now in life, I'm just like, this is stupid, so dumb. But it took me a long time to get over and to feel secure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think when we're young, I mean, I'm a straight white male, so yeah. I don't have the same, I'm not coming from the same place that you are, but still, when we are young, the things that matter to us are so much smaller than the things that matter to us when we're older.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like
a breakup when you're 17 or 16 mm-hmm. is world shattering because it's the most difficult thing you've ever gone through.
Yes.
So those things that are challenges when you're young mm-hmm. just become these like monoliths.
Yes.
Whereas when you're older, it's just like,
you're like, whatever. I know.
It's not a deal.
But it's just like, it was such a like, tough time, you know, and I wish that I didn't have the confidence or something. I'm not really sure what I had.
Yeah.
Maybe it was, you know, parents and probably that influence really helped. It did not help.
Right.
It made me feel insecure. I think that's what it is.
I mean, everybody comes to their own on their own time. Mm-hmm. Everybody blooms when mm-hmm. they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm. True.
I think a lot more people are late bloomers mm-hmm. than like, I think late bloomers, people say, oh, I was a late bloomer.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're a normal bloomer. Like, you're an average bloomer. Like, I think a lot of people take a long time to come to their own. Mm-hmm. Like, some people don't even come to their own until they're, like, 42.
True.
Do you know what I mean?
True.
Until they really know what they want, until they've explored and figured it out.
Yeah.
You know?
But knowing who I am now, I move quick all the time. You know, I'm very, like, let's go. And I'm very opinionated and whatever. And, like, you know, I wish that I did kind of get to that point of acceptance. I know, definitely. I know.
But maybe you wouldn't be where you are today haven't gone through everything you've been through.
And I believe that. Yeah. I believe that. But I just know, like, just knowing the kind of fierceness that I have now or fearlessness that I have now, like, I know that, like, if I knew that then, shoot, she would have been out there, all right? Like, you know, I don't know. But like, I know what you mean.
Would you want to show off the 18-year-old you, the woman that you've become? Today, like the person you are, like, hey, listen, like, this is where you're gonna be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that person would be the 18-year-old looking at me now would be like, she's dope.
That's sick. That's really great.
I think she'd be like, she's super cool. Yeah.
That's cool.
And I've always been sort of expressive and sort of, you know, like popular at school because I would jump around and I would jump around rallies and like wear like my clothes backwards and do crazy stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like that part of me hasn't changed. And I think that's probably what helped me like push forward to be a little bit, to get out of these like this mindset that I have. You know what I mean? So that's
you're,
cool.
You're very outgoing.
Yes.
And that's kind of helped you through.
Yes.
Through the times.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So it gets you in new environments. And
yes. And exploring and, you know, reaching even when, you know, I was feeling depressed and, you know, just really, what's the word? Like without a purpose, I guess.
Yeah.
I felt really aimless like I didn't, aimless. Yeah. I really felt that way for like a number of years. And then, everything changed.
Yeah. Going off the advice to 18-year-old Kalina, do you have advice for singers who are trying to break into the industry and get involved and make a career for themselves?
Yeah. I would say, well, first of all, know if you're talented or not.
Okay.
Know what you're capable of and where you could possibly could go. Because a lot of people are delusional.
Right.
And especially when it comes to singing, I'm not sure why that some people think that they can sing.
Right.
And it's it's a bizarre thing. I mean, you've seen American Idol and all those, all these different shows and stuff with, and they just can't sing, but then they like, and then they flip out when, you know, they're not as talented. You have to be realistic about what's happening. And I think that's a great baseline, because then you won't set yourself up for disappointment. And I think people start, when they believe that they can sing and they can't, then they start trying really hard to get into situations, and they either become really annoying to, you know, whoever, a producer or whatever.
Yeah.
And also their egos are inflated, you know what I mean? Because it's not the honest truth of who they are. So I think you have to know if you're actually talented enough first.
Right.
Yeah. That's huge. Huge. And then once you're talented, you got to spend some time developing not just your skills, but like, let's say if you're a writer, you have to know what type of things you can write for. You have to, you know,
like your voice.
Yeah. You have to know your voice, know what you can write for, know how you are singing. And that takes time. And I think there, you know, practicing like some sort of patience, which is, it's very difficult to practice patience when you want something so bad, but you have to, like, or else you will absolutely fail, or you will be annoying to that record executive who was going to give you that, you know, that chance, or that manager, whoever. Like, people don't like to be annoyed.
Yeah.
So you have to know. You have to know.
Like, know what you're capable of.
You have to
doing.
Know what you're capable of and work on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that takes, yeah, it takes some time exploring, and you have to learn to love that exploration.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because sometimes it takes forever, like not forever, but it takes 5-10 years to explore yourself and really be like, this is what I'm good at.
Yeah.
You know, and you really can't compare your journey to anyone else's journey, like, at all. I know people, you've heard that, but that's true.
Yeah.
It's so true. Like, you know, yeah, you can't like look on Instagram literally and be like, I want to be that person, and how come I don't have that? It's like, you'll never make it. Never make it.
Well, everybody goes in their own time.
Yes, everyone does go in their own time. And even though they may look like an overnight success, they've been doing it for 10, 15, 20 years too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say that, you know, and then once you get in the game, you know, then you have to have self-respect, you know, like, then you don't want to be like just doing everything, and you want to be polite about it, and you don't want to be cocky, but you have to, and that's, again, that comes with knowing yourself and knowing what types of projects and things you will excel at.
The ones are going to be good fits or not.
Yeah. Because you don't want to feel desperate.
Right.
Yeah. Cause people will take advantage of your desperation.
Right.
They're like, oh, I don't have to pay her. Oh, I don't have to this. I don't have to that. Whatever. And oftentimes you have to. Oh, I think another thing too is that music takes forever to come out. Uh-huh. Like the songs that you work on.
Yeah.
So like, don't be expecting, you know, like, especially if you're working with a DJ, it's kind of in their own time, because, you know, especially if you're a featured artist, it's whenever that they want to put it out. Kind of. I mean, you can set different parameters and say, you know, if you don't put it out within 6 months, 8 months, then I'm going to take the top line back, type of thing,
right.
You know, but just, music takes forever.
Yeah.
You know,
it takes a while. Like,
it takes a while.
I recorded with my band last August. Mm-hmm. We recorded a bunch of songs, and they're coming out this Friday, which is actually the same day. So it's out now. It's Hey You by Silver Palms. I probably shouldn't be using this platform to spread my band at all.
It's all good.
But yeah, it takes I mean, it's been like 6 months since we did it.
Yeah.
And it's just, mixes take a long time, and mastering takes a long time.
It really does.
Art together, and it's just, it's all in due time.
Yeah. I think in the process, while you're waiting for those songs to come out, you have to find ways to empower yourself on a daily basis. You know, like, you have to... If you are a singer, you should learn, one of the DAWs. Like, you should learn Ableton. You should learn Logic, Pro Tools, whatever one you like.
Yeah.
And learn how to create something for yourself, so you can feel independent, and that you're not at people's disposal, or like,
right,
that you're not like, well, I'm just waiting for them to put on the wall. It's like, no, like, you need to take the power back. You need to prepare a foundation for yourself.
Yeah.
And whatever that means. It doesn't even mean you don't have to learn music per se if you don't want to, but if you are, if you're a candle maker, make those damn candles. Or like, if you,
I like how that was the first, that was the first profession you went to after.
I know. Yeah. If you make candles, make candles.
Yeah. Or like, is that your backup plan?
No, I don't even make candles.
Yeah.
But I just know other artists who are really well-rounded.
Right.
And don't forget those parts of yourself, because those are the parts that make you interesting. And it also, you never know, that could be some cash flow in there, you know, while you're waiting. And so you're not waiting. You're just like, okay, when that comes out, it'll come out. And then you work on your own hustle, your own songs, and, you know, just keep yourself grounded with all the different facets of yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you do anything that's non-musical? Like, do you have any hobbies or any interests that are not related to music? Besides, I mean, we talked about your yoga stuff. We talked about,
I'm pretty chill.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I used to be more, I know I'm saying that now, but I think I feel very secure in a lot of things. I have a crazy goal. It's kind of, I don't know how crazy it is, but, okay. So I'm just really being open right now, but I'm going to get a breast reduction.
Okay.
And, I'd like to work on becoming a strong woman, like an actual like competing strong woman.
Yeah, a powerlifter.
So, yeah, powerlifter.
Okay.
Maybe not this one, but like it's the one where you like carry like boulders and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Boulders and like you have to pull cars and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really want to do that.
That's great. It's amazing. So,
and it will also help to assist in getting in shape for my role as a superhero in a movie. So, I mean, it's like, it's weird. I guess those aren't like, I mean, I don't really have any like other real hobbies, but that's what that's what I'm working on.
Start you know lifting. What
I mean? Yeah.
Do your deadlifts.
I want to lift. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so yeah, I mean, I find a lot of power, or a lot of like security in working out, because I think I played sports my whole entire life. So I just, that's a huge part of me.
What kind of sports do you play? Or did you play?
I played basketball, varsity, and I did softball because my dad was like a huge, he played softball and he's baseball. But I didn't like it as much because I got hit with the ball and I was like, oh my God. Basketball and then rugby.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long did you play sports for? Did you like, when was the all last the way, time you played?
Oh God, I haven't played for so long because my knees are really bad now.
Okay.
It's been years, but when I played, I played.
Yeah.
I was playing. Yeah. So, but that's why I want to try a new, take on a new, sport.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's more, I don't know, obviously like lifting is, you know, once you learn technique, it doesn't have to be as strenuous in a way.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit different. So developing my core, like dormant muscles, you know, and then doing like a lot of those, what are they called? The classes, but it will really change though when I get a breast reduction, because I have like really bad back problems because of it.
Yeah.
I have really big boobs. So once that happens, game on.
Okay.
Yeah, seriously. So I'm looking forward to that.
That's going to be great.
Yeah. And I have my cats that I hang out with.
How many cats do you have?
Three.
Three cats.
I have three cats. One hairless one, one Siamese and Himalayan one, and one like gray Siberian-ish kind of cat. Yeah.
I wish my cat was hairless.
Oh man. They're wild.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Cats are great. I only have one.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I should have.
How old is it?
She is, it's not an it.
Come I know.
On. Well, because
I didn't know if it was a girl or boy.
No, it's okay. No, she is three or four, I think.
Okay.
No. I got her, she was a rescue.
Uh-huh.
And when I brought her in to get like, you know, a month after I got her to like get her, checked out and stuff, I was like, oh yeah, I think she's like, you know, 6 or 8 months old. And she was like, no, this cat's like at least a year old.
Mm.
So I don't really know how old she is. Like I think, and that was in 2015.
Okay, yeah.
So I've had her for
Does she need a companion or she just?
She's all right for now.
Yeah, she's
I mean, I spend
fine.
A lot of time at home.
Yes.
She's
okay.
All right.
She's fine.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I think maybe when I do start touring more, that might be something to think about.
Yeah.
Having another little kitten at some point. Maybe a hairless one, so I don't have twice the cat hair to deal with. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
totally. It's a lot. It's always an uphill battle with the brushing and the lint roll. I have like a lint roller in every room.
Yeah, I have one in my car right now.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's an important thing to have as a cat owner.
Yes,
but she's great. She's definitely she meows a lot. She's very talkative.
Yeah,
I've heard sounds from her that I've never heard from a cat ever before.
Oh my!
Yeah,
like.
just everything, every sound you could ever picture a cat making, she makes them and some more.
Yeah. You know? That's how Tank is. Tank is the hairless one.
Yeah.
He doesn't stop talking, actually.
Yeah.
You're like, sometimes it grates on your nerves and you're just like, ah.
Yeah. But, trying to get some sleep.
Yeah.
She wakes me up.
Oh, sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She wakes me up at, I really should just be taking advantage of the fact that she wakes me up at like 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I should be like, okay, I'm up now. Like, thanks for waking me up. Mm-hmm. Rather than me being like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But she ends up like meowing for like 30 minutes,
mm-hmm.
like at 7:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then she like sleeps until 10.
Mm.
So it's just like, all right. I know you exist.
Yeah. Nice. That's funny. You know,
or like sometimes I'll check her bowl or like she'll have food in it still.
But she's just
like, hey man,
I just want to play with you.
She plays fetch.
Oh, nice.
So she's got like, I've got like these little like, I don't know, like these little plastic ball
things. Oh, nice.
Crinkly ones. And she plays fetch with them. So she'll come up to me with them and I'll just like throw them being half asleep.
So cute.
Yeah.
You're like, okay.
Yeah. Cat stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Super cat stuff.
Who inspires you?
Like musically?
Just in general.
In general, inspires me.
Yeah.
Recently, it has been Eric, my friend Eric.
Really?
He inspires me a lot because he works really hard and he's really smart and he's also very gentle and I don't know, he pulls out really nice, he inspires me to do well. In music, and he's really like helped me level up and helped me like be a better listener and pick better choices like within music.
Okay.
So he really inspires me. Who else inspires me? Watching Black Panther inspired me, you know? I'm sure you can guess why the reasons for that.
Yeah. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Yeah. And I didn't think it would really inspire me that much, but it really did. And obviously the desire to be a superhero too, that like, I was like, zing, should I have been that movie? Like,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. I don't know that really did inspire me a lot. Meredith inspires me. She's my girlfriend. She inspires me. Yeah.
How long have you guys been together?
7 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Who else inspires me? My dad inspires me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He was a firefighter.
Really?
Yeah. And so, I don't know, just the way he carries himself, and he's also really chill, and like you can just tell like his emotions are like, he's got a good control over his emotions just because he's seen so many types of things being a firefighter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Do you have a specific moment that you think about with your dad that kind of led you to think that way about him? Like, is there something that he's done in the past that has inspired you?
Well, I mean, there's so many things, really. I mean, I just think maybe just watching him overall. I think just watching him grow. Watching him when I was a kid, I mean, and then seeing him turn into a firefighter and just watch him, some of the stories he's told me and like how he's almost like died, you know what I mean? Being, I don't know, just to know that he's experienced these really crazy things and that he still has such a level head.
Right.
And like they call him the superhero like of our family because he's literally always saving people, whether it be like, it could be financially, it could be, you know, it could be literally saving people, you know, like I just think just watching him over time.
Right.
And he's helped me stay calm as well. I take on that sort of mindset. And when I'm pretty crazy and wild and, but looking at him and being like, okay, and adapting, and he's like, okay, my dad doesn't do that. So like, you know, like I learn a lot about practicing fairness, you know, and he does that.
That's really great.
Yeah, he's really cool. And I think laughter inspires me.
Yeah.
Just like certain weird TV stuff. I don't know, like I don't really watch TV that much, but like when I see diversity on TV, I like that.
Yeah.
You know, But I don't watch a ton of it. But just when I see it in movies and media, that makes me really happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's important.
And I never really, I mean, I know I'm black. Hey guys, I'm black. but I never really think like I am this black person, you know, like, but as I see more, like, you know, I work around a lot of mostly white people, and that's totally fine and whatever. But I'm realizing when I look back at that, I'm like, oh God, like I'm in a space that's rare. You know what I mean? Like I'm a singer, you know, got these dreads and then, but like I'm here and accepted by, you know, everyone. It's really, really nice. Yeah. But I mean, I didn't even think about that until like actually recently. And I was like looking back at like reflecting on things. I was like, whoa, this is cool. Like, you know, not a lot of like black women get to be in the space. And it's not even that they don't get to, it's just, they don't even maybe not even think that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's unique to be in dance music. And that's something that I don't even see a lot of. Well, I see singers now, a lot of singers in it, but I get to perform and like all those things I'm just so grateful for.
Yeah.
Because it happens so naturally without trying and no thoughts like, no, like, oh, I have to do because I have this kind of purpose. And it's just like, just all happened, you know, and that and reflecting on that, it's really wonderful.
Just being true to yourself.
Yeah. And it's true to, extremely true. And no, there's no thoughts other than I just want to do that. You know, that's my whole life. Just been like, I'm doing that. I'm very,
just like almost like a childlike presence.
Yes. I'm very childlike. And I guess I can thank my mom for helping me, with that sort of voice, you know, like with that person who inside who says, I want to do that and I can do that.
Yeah.
She was very about like self-empowerment when I was like younger and, you know, she would ask me like, what would you like to do? You know, give me an opinion, you know, during those times when I was, you know, developing my voice, like not my singing voice, but just like my voice as a human.
Your personal voice,
who you are. Yeah. And that's really important to give children choices.
Yeah.
And I never realized that because now I'm not thinking like anything. I'm just like, I want to do it. And it's all feeling based. And it's, and ideally your feelings will lead you to the right place. Now, they can be tricky, obviously, but ideally that impulse and that spiritual calling, whatever that is, like if you honor that, like it will lead you somewhere cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
Do you remember what you wanted to be back then? Like when you were little?
When I was little?
Like when you think of like what little Kalina wanted to be when she grew up?
I didn't have any expectation. I didn't have anything. Really? I wasn't thinking anything in my mind. I used to draw a lot, but okay. I wasn't like, I'm going to be a singer. Like I just knew that based from my cousins and my mom and my dad, they told me I just used to sing all the time, like to myself and just out loud. But it wasn't like, I never said, hey, I want to be a singer.
Yeah.
So, and I don't even recall having those thoughts either.
Yeah.
Like I was very, I was shy and I very expressive though at the same time, like when I was with my friends and like when I was little, people used to come up and I'd be at like Disneyland or even in New York and stuff. And like people used to just come up and take pictures of me like randomly. Like, and I was always like, okay, this is weird, you know?
Yeah.
But like, I don't know that like stuff like that. I never paid attention to what was happening, you know, or like that impulse. I never really understood it until like later. And I was like, oh, I'm just doing these things because, oh yeah. Okay. I'm singing. Oh, okay. Like and just connecting dots, but there was no real goal. I mean, I loved basketball and I wanted to play basketball. I knew that much. And I wanted to go to college for playing basketball, but then I sprained my ankle. So that didn't happen. So I was depressed.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing I can remember that I was like, that's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
How's your time? What are we doing for time? Are we good?
Oh, I'm good.
Good to go. We can keep going.
Whatever you want to ask is fine.
Okay, cool. What are some of the tools of the trade for you? Like, what are the tools that you like to use that help you in your career? Either musical tools that you use or professional tools that you use?
For me, I think it's the professional tools. Like having a lawyer is great. Has been great because, you know, learning what's possible legally. I'm obsessed with that.
Okay.
Yeah. I like to know
all the legal gray areas.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Like I don't shy away from it at all.
Yeah.
Like head on, let's go. Let's look at, you know, all the possibilities and let's look at how people are screwing me today. I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm not screwing you, but you know what I mean? Like I just love it. It's interesting and how I like how contracts go down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like to read a lot about like business books, like music business books. I like to read negotiation books. I don't know. I'm just like a weird, I don't know. Maybe it's not weird. I suppose it's not weird because no. I think more artists are on that now. They like to know more about what the business side of it. But now I'm trying to now get away from it though. Not get away from it, but I'd like to focus more on my art and not so much. Because, you know, I was managing myself, so it was helpful to know that. But now that I have a manager who I trust, like I would really like to just focus on music more.
Right.
And so, yeah, so he's now a great tool, in my opinion, because that sounds funny. He's a great tool.
Yeah.
He's a tool. No. He's like, he's a, you know, an asset.
We call people assets. Yeah, yeah. We don't call them tools.
I know. It sounds weird.
Yeah.
He's an asset, but also it's like, yeah, it's almost like it's a tool asset tool. Because now I can step away and be an artist
and focus
properly
on your music. Mm-hmm. The craft.
And honestly, I'm thinking more of assets then, because I really appreciate people.
Your
and
team.
Team, yes. It's like huge to me because, man, I really wouldn't be anywhere without that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think that's the part sometimes like singers or people who are artists, they forget that like you didn't get there like by yourself. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
Like you're not, I don't know where the ego really comes from. You know, like I understand having an ego to get out there and do it. And like, you know, I have an ego. I have a vibrato. I know that. But like, you know, you need to have, you know, people that need to be cool enough to have people that want to help you.
Definitely.
You know, and you don't want to get in your own way. And I'm seeing now that like this Super Bowl thing has happened with the Winter Olympics and all of that. Like I'm seeing the beauty of all the beautiful people around me that are still down to help move me forward.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that I had the change that, okay, I'm here to do music and be a conduit that makes me fit in the team better.
Right.
Because it's like, okay, you know, we're trying to get you to the biggest place because you have a purpose and you have something that you have to communicate. You know what I mean? And you're communicating all these different elements, you know, like, and the biggest thing is seeing the commercial, knowing that I was actually the smallest portion of, not the smallest portion, one of the bigger portions, but like so many people, like I went to Saatchi & Saatchi, the ad agency and performed stronger than I ever been. And all the people that did marketing and did this and like the producers and like seeing that, I was like, oh my God, like this is not about me at like one bit, you know? And it's just like, I want to be a part of more situations like that.
Right.
You know, where it's like, we're all working to tell some story, you know?
Yeah.
And that's for good or for to move people, you know? So I think, I don't know, I'm just seeing assets and I pray for like myself to stay grounded.
Right.
Yeah. That's don't get too big headed, you know? Be happy and celebrate and,
definitely,
you know, party, you know, like whatever. I don't know. Like, but I know that like we're all working together.
Yeah.
It's really, really nice.
It's like being part of a bigger thing.
Yeah. And like, a long time ago when I lived by myself in LA, like in Hollywood, I wrote like, please God, give me purpose, like just on my wall. Cause I was feeling so depressed. And now I'm like, Yes, please. It's like something is happening. I don't want it to stop. I am very happy, very thankful for every situation that has happened thus far. And, you know, I want to do my work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty good note to wrap up on. I think that works. Thanks so much for coming on.
Of course.
This is really, really fantastic. And thanks for opening up. So that's our show. On one final note, I noticed that we have a 5-star rating on iTunes. I cannot thank you guys enough for that. That's really amazing. For those of you that do like our show and want to support us, that is the best way you can do it. Also, show your friends. We have that share link on Spotify now, and that makes it pretty easy to do it. Our next episode is in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening.